Welcome to Hi Bob, the officially unofficial For All Mankind podcast on Apple TV Plus. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're back to do our feedback episode for season 6, episode 8, and I guess a couple of episodes here.
Yeah, it's been a couple since we've had one. Mm-hmm.
So what do we have?
Well, we've got if you're curious, FAM, which stands for, of course, For All Mankind. We could have Bob. We do this next season. I want to change this to Bob at baldmove.com. But for now, it's FAM at baldmove.com. A couple of people took us up on that offer, and we'll get right to it. Probably, if I was to guess, not going to have another feedback episode until postseason, like our wrap-up coverage.
Yeah.
But we might sneak one in before the finale. We'll see how much time and how much feedback we get. Out of State Boogers is up first. It says, okay, Bald Move, I am for real / fake mad about your coverage of this rainbow password guy. And I guess giving him the benefit of the doubt, that's a plot point that he's going to follow up on the security breach, and that's how Ed will find out. Let's just call it what it is. Thus far, the world's worst IT person getting a free ride to Mars in a space hotel by handing out a not complex admin password to random crew member in passing merely because they asked. I get that most hacking is actually social engineering, but Danny just strolled up, asked for the password, and then walked away. And rainbow password guy is like, shrug.
He's technically his superior. Am I wrong about that?
I think that Danny's like second in command in the hierarchy of For All Mankind. That's what it felt like for me in the Helios.
Me too. So it's a little less absurd if like your commander asks you these questions, or, you know, someone,
and then this
directly
isn't like
direct report to them.
And this isn't like a college campus with 4,500 kids running around, right? This is a secure
right.
In outer space facility where anybody probably could go and open an airlock, and you could cause all kinds of just fucking chaos. So like, it's not the most egregious thing I've ever seen,
but that's the devil in me playing advocate here, because fuck you, Nick, for not saying anything.
Yeah.
Like, this is obviously suspicious. You're 100% right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, like I said, regardless of whether the security is compromised or not, there should the answer to that's good logging. You know, you got to have good separated logging so that if when things happen, that you got a nice paper trail to follow up. And nobody, again, in this context, I don't think anybody's looking for it. I don't know at this point in time if this is going to be a plot point. Like, at this point, I'm actually not even sure if some of these crucial revelations are going to happen at all.
Can they? I mean, Nick's dead. Nick died in the landslide. So, like,
at this point, yeah,
who's, of course, there to tell on him?
Sent this before the latest episode, the latest two episodes. But, like, yeah, it's more of like, you know, where, like, the fact that he's been creeping on the Karen emails, the fact that, like, he even had sex with Karen. Like, I don't know.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I just think it's an open question of whether we, you know, like will Ed think the follow up on, you know, what were you going to ask me before the giant explosion came and we were all saved? And could Taney not think of something plausible? Like, I mean, I guess he could confess that it's actually his.
Yeah.
You know, he did all the bad stuff, and
he
this is all his fault.
To confess. Yeah. That he was at the controls when, you know, the landslide stuff went down. Certainly that could be a cover.
He can make shit up. Like, I always had a crush on Kelly. Like, there's like, you know, if I was Danny, I would be thinking of stuff.
Some more shit about, like, Shane. Yeah,
sure. Some more. Yeah. Just make sure anytime Ed asks you a question, any follow-up question, is just pain. It's nothing but more painful revelations about Shane.
Yeah, that'll teach him.
It's all Shane pain. All right, let's move on to John and Callie. He says, as a former NASA employee, I was thinking about how Margo could have handled her situation when first approached by the KGB. My initial reaction was that she should have made a very quiet outreach to the head of the NASA's counterintelligence office at the Johnson Space Center, which exists today, but I'm not sure about in the 1980s.
Oh, wow.
Holy fuck.
I didn't know
NASA has a counterintelligence office? That's space spies?
I mean, why wouldn't
that's
spies
fucking
go to
cool
space?
Yeah. Moonraker, baby. The other would be the Department of Justice / the FBI. And then I remembered that during the 80s in our universe, the FBI counterintelligence office had been itself penetrated by a KGB spy, one Robert Hansen.
Wow.
Hansen is a former FBI agent who spied for the Soviet and Russian intelligence services from 1979 to 2001. His espionage was described by the DOJ as possibly the worst intelligence disaster in U.S. history. He's currently serving 15 consecutive life sentences without parole in the federal Supermax prison in Colorado. He was in the FBI's counterintelligence unit from 1985 to 1991, so if he existed in the For All Mankind universe, any information Margo gave to either NASA or to FBI security would have triggered a major FBI effort and pulled in top counterintelligence agents like Hansen, who in turn would have tipped off his KGB masters and led to the bullet to the head of Sergei and members of his immediate extended family. Too bad the show didn't have a quick shot of Margo in the 1980s watching a TV news clip on FBI counterintelligence agent getting arrested as a Soviet spy to give her at least a little reason for not going to the FBI.
Gotcha. A little retroactive reason. A little, thank goodness I didn't.
I wonder, I do still, like, you know, I do think that Margo should have gone, because I guess I don't think it was a big deal. Like, it seems like the way to go would have been to, in that hotel room, said you're going to help the Russians. You fly back to NASA. You go right to the DOJ and tell them everything that happened in that hotel room. And then they would probably figure out some kind of rope-a-dope way to give the Russians enough information. Because how the hell would the Russians know whether, you know, they have to build the reactor before they could have a very subtle but fatal flaw. There's so many ways. And Mark, I don't think that, like, the trap was sprung until she decided to try to handle this herself.
No, you know? Not the true trap, right? Like, I like the way they depict this, her easing into this easy relationship with Sergei where they are trading information.
Innocuous. You scratch my back, I scratch you. Yeah, it's nothing and for national security, but just
the other shoe drops, right? And she's already given them information. It might look bad if she goes to the DOJ.
I'm not saying she shouldn't be nervous, but like, I don't think she'd be doing 16 consecutive life sentences at some supermax.
No, this is the last off ramp before, you know, you're stuck on this path. And you're absolutely right. That's the time to do it. If she's ever
doing real
do it.
Federal pound you in the ass prison time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But she does not. She does not.
It's bunch. I feel like Hansen has came up on the show before.
I mean, it's maybe a fear for Sergei, right? Is what keeps her from doing that. You know, she's got feelings
for Sergei. It is, but
Sergei.
Like, yeah, and I guess
to him.
I guess you have to. There's some kind of naivete of her not thinking that, okay, well, if she cooperates with the Russians, that nothing bad's going to happen to Sergei as soon as she's not useful.
Mm-hmm. And that this will ever end. Yeah.
Yeah, and that the FBI wouldn't have, or, you know, their counterintelligence wouldn't have a way to bend this to their, to the positive.
Right.
Because it seemed like, you know, it wasn't like absolutely not out of the question to get some kind of crazy counterintelligence extraction on Sergei's family. So, yeah, it's, but I think that's part of Margot's hubris too. Like the fact that she wants to rely on herself and not get anybody involved and like keep it under wraps. Like it's all part of her, you know, personality flaws. Mm-hmm. John G says, why in the hell would Ed put Danny in any position of authority whatsoever if he suspected him to be on drugs? That might be the dumbest thing that's ever happened this entire show. Fuck Danny. The way I see this is like Ed cut his teeth on carrier operations in Korea. And if you know anything about especially the more heyday of fighter pilots in wars past, they were all hopped up on speedballs.
Sure.
Like they like the, our pilots were on some form of methamphetamine so they could run combat patrol after combat patrol and stay effective. And during these, you know, airstrikes and stuff in Korea and Vietnam, that they could still, you know, even with very little sleep, they could still execute on a high level. So I think that like you're between the lines, Ed's kind of comfortable with performance enhancing drugs. Like obviously he's shooting steroids in his ass. He probably took speedballs back when he was a pilot. What he objects to is going over the line. And he said he's even seen pilots go over the line. And you don't think I know what it looks like to be fucked up on, but I don't think it's like the same appropriation that if he knew that like he was taking essentially heroin. I think that would be a bridge too far for Ed, but he just he's just always looking at Danny through the lens of him and his dad.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. He does extend a certain not courtesy, but like a certain capability in Danny based on what he knows of Gordo. And I think, like, you know, he doesn't put Danny into a position of extreme responsibility here, right? Like, he sees that he's fucked up and he relegates him to second chair on the drill side of off the drill side, like all that stuff. It's not a super important role until Nick decides, hey, I've got some other work to do and you need to man this station. That's when it actually becomes a problem. This is like, I don't know, a coder who's snorting Adderall and their boss finds out about it and they're like, well, they're still getting the job done. You know, yeah, they're shaky and maybe they talk too much, but like they're getting it done. There aren't too many bugs in their code yet. But, you know, and then they roll something into production, which totally fucks, a month's worth of work.
Right. I wish I knew more about Nick and what he knows about Danny, because from Nick's perspective, he knows Danny's a loose cannon. He's got a lot of anger issues. He's got, you know, a lot of mommy daddy issues. Does the crew know about his drug problem? Because if Ed didn't reveal that, that's the thing. Yeah, it's like, if Nick knew about the drug problem and he left him unsupervised, but also
just look
this
at
is the
him.
Easiest job you can have on the base, man. Like, listen to the guys when they say flip the relief switch, you flip the relief switch.
Yeah.
It's like you have to be not just fucked up, but emotionally compromised to fuck up this big. I think that Ed thought he was putting him on like essentially desk duty and he fucked up desk duty in a way that like
with a redundancy of Nick too. Like he wasn't leaving him to a job to do by himself. It just happened to get him in that situation.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like Nick has some culpability. He knew he was that compromised and trusted him at that crucial juncture. But on the other hand, there was, I wonder why I didn't give Danny the busy work, like go and get these numbers and do this test. And I'm going to continue monitoring the drill pressure and all that kind of stuff. I don't know.
But like I said, I would have sent him back to orbit and brought somebody else down. Like, you deal with this guy because he needs to be separated from whatever's going on here that's causing this problem.
Yeah.
But then he'd just be up there, you know, watching Karen's messages and all that stuff.
Right.
Wouldn't have gone any better up there. Hell, he probably crashed.
And that's the thing.
Phoenix.
It's like Ed just kept on saying one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm going to give you one more chance. And he kept on like extending. And this goes all the way back from when Danielle said, man, this kid's fucked up. You don't want to bring him to Mars, Ed. And Ed's like, hey, what if actually that's the thing that he needs. And he's just been, you know, bypassing these flashing red lights the whole season. Renee says, oral office. I don't think Aaron's even aware he said this. Neither of you said anything, but it's hilarious. Did anyone else catch it? So welcome to Bald Move Podcast. I get a lot of words wrong and a lot of jumbled up associations in my brain. And sometimes it works out hilarious. Sometimes it's just embarrassing. Apparently, I also can't say the word dementia. Dementia?
Wait, what possible combination of words could oral office be in reference to?
Plus, it's also even funnier in the context of like Bill Clinton's escapades,
oral office. I love it. I love it.
So we've got the gender bent, sexual flipped, oral. Yeah, I said, you're welcome. You're welcome is what I'm trying to say, Renee.
It's great.
Josh H says, I surprised you guys didn't entertain the possibility that during Danny and Ed's big confrontation, when Ed was inviting Danny to punch him, I thought for sure Danny was going to sock him with the cold, hard fact, George Costanza style. Oh, yeah, well, I had sex with your wife. Do you think they're setting it up for the
that stuff?
Do you think they're setting it up to finally be revealed on Mars this season?
It's gotta be. Like, why spend all this time on it? Unless they're going to kill Danny because of it, then yeah, it's gotta be
revealed.
Especially
since in the world of For All Mankind, more and more people are finding out about it. We now know, like, we thought maybe going in this episode it was just Karen and Danny, but we know Jimmy knows about it. We know that Molly and, well, at least Molly's husband, but probably Molly knows about it. it's there. And like Karen knows that people know, it feels like it's eventually, but like, I don't know what they're setting up.
Yeah.
And like, what does that look like? Does Ed after this episode or after the last two episodes, does Ed feel differently about Danny now?
I mean, certainly his feeling on Danny has to have changed a bit.
Like, I feel like that was what, like, that they had a real moment of understanding and connection. And, like, it doesn't forgive what Danny has done, but it definitely goes a long way to explaining the kind of unique pressures that he's felt his entire life. And I feel like if Ed doesn't take that into account, like, would Ed beat this kid up now? Would he turn him into a greasy spot on the carpet if he found out he fucked Karen? It seems silly, but I don't know. Ed's a pretty emotional guy.
Especially around that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Jay Chris from Rhode Island. Says, hey guys, something I noticed in episode 6 was that Danny cut his hand at the tip of the core sample he was drilling. With aquifer presumably vaporized, might we see a dormant Martian microbe from below to surface hitch a ride back to Earth inside Danny's blood?
Oh my God, it's a Venom situation.
Do we have...
Oh my God.
A symbiote?
Uh-huh.
Well, loud noises. Loud noises is how you defend yourself against. That's Kelly. She's going to be mixing up some heavy metal remixes to keep the symbiote in check on the way back. Is there any kind of... that was one of those blink if you don't miss it. I just thought it's like it was setting up... clearly it's setting up a foreshadowing, a disaster of Danny related to drilling. Like, he hurt himself. Yes, he's a danger definitely. Himself. He's a danger to others. That's a lot of some drilling foreshadowing. But I do. Yeah. Do you think there's anything to some kind of contamination here?
No, I don't. My gut says no, but who knows?
I feel like you would die. If you got a microbe in Mars, you either it would be something that you're... immune system would recognize and rapidly beat off, or it'd be something in which you have absolutely no defenses against and it would just ravage you. So it's either going to like be so foreign that it can't even replicate inside you, or it's just going to take you over.
Yeah.
So to the extent that he hasn't become taken over by some Martian rage zombie virus.
I'm picturing some Expanse type stuff.
Some proto molecule. Yeah. Uh-huh. He got infected by the proto molecule. He's fucked. I've seen the Expanse.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim, order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar, then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of King's Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
All All right, Josh P. says, Larry and Pam have described Ellen as an unstoppable force. They've mentioned everyone who had sacrificed and kept secrets to allow Ellen the chance to be president. I think Larry might be the biggest and maybe last sacrifice to be laid at Ellen's altar. I think the only play for him is to come clean and admit the affair while also coming out. He'll admit he lied to Ellen all those years ago. This should in turn garner sympathy for Ellen while also making her appear to be strong in the face of such devastating revelations. Just like Ellen's first trip to the moon, people will sacrifice for her to get there. And just like her stay on the moon, she will be all alone.
Yeah, I think that's a good, plausible. I don't know. I use way out here in quotes because, like, it's not an easy out, right? But it is an out for Ellen, at least. I don't know. I could definitely see that happening.
It seems like it's always something I've been interested in. I don't know about mid-90s, but lately, every time there is a politician or celebrity involved in a sex scandal that doesn't involve, like, you know, rape or sexual misconduct. Sure, sure. It just involves cheating, you know, your average typical human foibles. I've always wondered what would happen if someone just said, just threw them, just came clean. And, you know, admitted it and gone on with it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the winning strategy. Now, the only thing I don't understand, I don't quite have a handle on is, like, in comparison to mid-90s America, our mid-90s America, like, how more or less homophobic is America of the For All Mankind universe? Because we've talked about this in previous podcasts, that there's clearly... Mm-hmm. Gender-based pressure from the Soviet Union for equality. There's racial pressure stemming from the Soviet Union to move the needle on racial equality, and the space program's kind of leading that. I don't think there's been a similar pressure when it comes to gay rights, like, no, you know, the Soviet Union,
especially with Roland's reaction to knowing about
rights. Right. Yeah. Which could be, I'm saying that's like a stereotypical Russian reaction. I'm just saying that, like, I don't think Russians are any more enlightened when it comes to that than Americans of the era. So, like, there wasn't right. that unique pressure to make mm-hmm. the For All Mankind universe is ahistorically ahead of the time when it comes to gender conflict and racial conflict, it seems like. But mm-hmm. so that's the only thing is, like, do the people feel sorry for her? Especially since, again, remember that she's Republican. So, mm-hmm. like, maybe Democrats would be more likely to overlook stuff like, although even in the mid-90s, like, stuff like gay marriage and stuff was not super popular, no. even amongst, like, self-described Democrats. But the fact that she's Republican, I think that's a big problem because that's not exactly on that party's platform.
No.
In the mid-90s.
No, she'd get a lot of blowback from her own party, certainly. And like you said, large swaths of the more liberal parties certainly would have a problem with it.
Yeah. But I do like the analysis of, like, you know, a lot of her arc preparing for this, because, like you said, you know, she relieved Ed from on the moon and she was going to be the only one there. She is, and of course, now she's got kids, but she is well suited for a life where she has to make sacrifices and be alone to fulfill a mission that she finds important.
Yeah.
Although that, the more the Ellen presidency wears on, the more I wonder, does she just resign? Because she's just seems like she's mired, and not only is she not accomplishing her objectives, but she is starting to feel like she's losing things, like, you know, NASA autonomy, being able to push her jobs bill and things like that. She's, like, becoming increasingly not politically effective.
Yeah, you're right. I guess the question would be, like, who is her, the person who follows her going to be? I mean, obviously, she's got a VP, right? So if she were to resign, VP would take over. He didn't seem particularly willing to fight for her causes. No. So, like, right, I don't know that it's a great option for her to resign either.
Well, the other thing is, like, I'm reading... Josh here's email, and he's talking about that this, you know, gets sympathy. I guess if Larry comes out and Ellen stays in the closet, mm-hmm. then maybe that's a way, because she can say, well, I'm blameless and I didn't have anything to do with this and yada, yada, yada. But she's still in the closet. And I wonder if that's going to be the significance of her visit to Pam. that, like, well, if Larry done what Larry did, they can solve that. But like her reaching out to her old lover is going to be something the press is going to uncover in that connection. And that,
I think that was a big mistake. Yeah.
So then Larry falls on a sword, and then it turns out she's lying too. And just, yeah, man, well, it also
puts her in the horns of a personal dilemma there too, because like she's going to be pressured to condemn Larry as a gay man. True. Right. And you know, she's inching
father of her child, by the way.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, there would be some pressure there from large factions to say, yes, being gay is wrong, Larry. Bad Larry. And could she do that? Christ, I don't think she could.
Yeah.
So, you know, Larry coming out wouldn't necessarily solve all her problems.
Jake from Alexandria, Virginia, home of The Walking Dead. For the past several seasons. I want to share something I noticed in episode 8, The Sands of Aries, during the scene between Margo and Dev. Isn't the contractor in Rockford, Illinois that was responsible for the Saturn V Apollo 23 disaster awarded the contract in order to sway a senator during the equal rights movement? I think this was the revelation that Dr. Von Braun shared with Margo that helped her ascend to her position. Surely she would remember this, right? Might not be anything more than further connective tissue with the characters, but wanted to get your thoughts. Well, so like, I forgot that piece of information was a card she played to ascend to the top of NASA.
Yeah.
But I think we talked about in the episode the fact that like she definitely remembered that, like, the connection here that, mm-hmm. you know, Dev's father was ruined by this contractor fuck up. Yeah. And I thought you definitely saw her eyes flash with recognition. I forgot that it was that important to her character.
That she might have had some hand in ruining Dev's father. Yeah, that's kind of important.
Probably.
I mean, indirectly and inadvertently, but
yeah,
it wasn't her fault that they fucked up that contract. It's just that they did.
It's wild that the way that the wheels of history turn.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan W. sent in a meme. He said, this is how they're going to get back to Phoenix. And he attached a picture of the ridiculous catapult that Ozymandias built to escape his prison on HBO's Westworld series.
No, so, Watchmen.
Watchmen. Yeah. Sorry. What did I say? Westworld. Oh, I said Westworld. Yeah. It's Watchmen. They can go with the trebuchet if they need a little bit more power.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, why not? Why not?
I would say if you're trying to get somebody gravity. Into Earth orbit, trebuchet is necessary. Mars, yeah, you could get away with the
catapult. Just with the catapult, the lesser siege engine.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for that, Ryan. Our final email of the feedback bag is Will. He says, towards the end of the last podcast, you both were discussing what risk Kelly's pregnancy might bring. The first that came into my mind is the intense radiation that the baby will receive during space travel. One of the problems I've always heard come up in potential Mars or deep space missions is how to protect the astronauts from the long-term exposure to solar radiation. Without Earth's magnetosphere to protect them, astronauts take on a heavy amount of radiation. The developing cells of a fetus are at high risk of becoming cancerous if exposed to radiation, so having a pregnant Kelly on the return trip from Mars would almost certainly result in a miscarriage or stillbirth. I think that's true, that like more rapid your cells divide, the more increased risk you are for cancer. So like a developing fetus is nothing but like a mass of rapidly developing cells. So I never thought of it in that terms, but yeah, that seems bad.
Mm-hmm.
Says perhaps the Russians are concerned that Kelly will want or need to stay on Mars, protect her pregnancy, and would jeopardize her return trip if additional astronauts decide to stay to support Kelly. The thing is, I thought that the Russians were concerned from some sort of political angle, them wanting to get the commanders and the Kremlin involved before they even tell the mother implies that there is some kind of, like I said, geopolitics angle that I haven't considered, because if it's just, well, I guess they never said that. They just said this is a risky thing. There's a lot of risk here and we need to talk to Moscow. We need to talk to.
Yeah, I guess I just didn't see the Russian astronauts being concerned at all with the health of the Helios people, but
it's the child of one of their fellow cosmonauts. I mean, it could just be a human concern. And
we see the
Russians as nefarious, you know, just in
everything they do. Yes, no, it's my bias, certainly in my viewing. Yeah.
because you know, running things up the chain of command, as we heard by from Danielle Poole, that's just a thing you do in military institutions. So that's not a new, you're like, you know, what are you going to do? Sure. Just yeah, I wonder what they were going to do before, like, were they going to just, like, if Moscow said, like, okay, here's the deal, just abort that baby.
Yeah.
They slip some plan B in her tang and mm-hmm. let nature take its course. I don't think that's that. You'd have to do some other kind of hormonal pill. But yeah, I don't know. I felt like it's a little bit more shadowy and darker, but that just might be because I'm biased against Soviets because I grew up in the 80s.
Well, and I'm living in 2022 where the Russians are perpetuating some of the bad.
Nefarious on the world stage. And America never's done that. I like living in a country where we only ones mm-hmm. with our clean noses, so to speak, from a foreign policy standpoint. Never fucked around, never found out.
I have not broken a window of this glass house yet, and I don't plan to. So I'm going to keep throwing those stones.
Will says, closes his email. P.S. One proposed solution to this radiation problem is to cover the exterior of the ship or one area of the ship in a membrane of water because it blocks out a lot of radiation. Mm-hmm. Maybe the crew can create a radiation safe zone for Kelly. I don't know about a membrane. I don't know about a membrane because I've heard it's like a meter of water. And mm-hmm. what I've heard is like in the Zubrin that I keep on referring to, the Robert Zubrin's Case for Mars, he proposed that there's a large central water tank where the crew's water will be, and that will be in like some kind of donut shape. And there would be a space in the middle just big enough for the crew to stand and huddle. And like if there was a coronal mass ejection or whatever, you could orientate the ship to put the most water between the crew and the radiation source, and they could kind of hunker down in that bunker for the duration. Because you need a meter of water to equal like a quarter inch of lead. The other thing I've heard is for on Mars, because Mars lacks a magnetosphere too, as you pointed out, is that the regolith. You just pile like a meter or two of dirt, but that does a pretty good job. So I think imagine that like if you got these colonies going, that they would all essentially be kind of underground.
Yeah, put them in the lava tubes.
Eventually.
Just send Kelly down to the lava tubes. They've already done it.
Danny and Ed had the right idea. They just forgot to put a door, you know?
Right.
But yeah,
become lava tube people.
Mm-hmm. Become lava tube people.
Yes.
Thanks for that. Appreciate the scientific perspective there on the pregnancy, Will. And that will do it for our feedback for this week. Again, fam@baldmove.com is where you want to send feedback for consideration on the show. I don't know if we'll have another episode before we get to the finale, another feedback episode rather, but we certainly will have a season wrap up. Mm-hmm. At the end of the season 3 where we can kind of consider everything. That'll do it. Again, thanks for everybody's feedback. fam@baldmove.com if you want to add to our feedback for the next one. And until the next time, I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Bye, Bob.